Hello, welcome to the Diva with Grace podcast. I am Diva by name, not by reputation.
And I'm Grace. It's a popular him and I'm a popular her.
Oh, what a wonderful...
Hello.
That giggling is today's guest. She's like, I'm going to intro myself.
It's yes, fine. We love the intro with a giggle.
I know, it's going to be a good one. We have an amazing guest in studio today, the lovely Ashley Rideau. If that's the French way of saying it. She's a Los Angeles-based yoga instructor, as well as a 500 ERYT Yoga Works certified teacher trainer. Her classes are challenging and playful, ranging from therapeutic work to advanced vinyasa flow. All of her classes are a balance of the physical and philosophical, inviting the body and mind to unfold through her detail to alignment, breath, and meditation. All things I can personally attest to because I've been fortunate enough to take her classes.
Yes.
Welcome, Miss Ashley.
So she's been vetted.
Yes.
We talk a lot about vetting on this show.
She's the real deal. Yes. Ashley, thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you
for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
this is a few months in the making.
Oh, yes. Right. But isn't that the story with everything? I have plans with a girlfriend next week that we've been planning for 3 months.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is just
and of course
normal.
Does she live on the west side?
Right. Okay. She was not prompted to say that. I say that all the time. Like, God, the west. And now I'm always on the west side. The irony of life. She's not, though. Right? But usually the west side, it's like, I'll see you in 6 months, mm-hmm. if that.
Yeah.
Still, one girlfriend of mine, I'm still trying to. It's been years since I've seen
it's her. A long distance relationship once you move to the other side of town.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's nice knowing you. But yeah, just happy to have you here. So let's jump right in. Tell us. Share how your journey, your spiritual journey, your journey has led you to not only be a yoga practitioner, but you're a teacher and also do teacher training. You do a lot. And you travel the world.
A lot. Some would say that is the most. I think I've always been, without having a name for it, like yoga has been present in my life since I showed up. And I've always been that like odd little duckling in my family. So I come from a Creole household that loves sports, and like everything that you could imagine that goes around sort of that stereotype. Mm-hmm. And then I'm the little weirdo that like stopped eating meat in seventh grade and was like, I'm just going to go sit by that tree for a little bit and think about my feelings.
Oh, I love that. Oh, my God, same.
You're so good.
You know, like I was always much more at home with like crafts and nature and yes. like I'm just gonna go cartwheel in the yard for a little bit.
You're like the Lisa Simpson of your family.
I am the Lisa Simpson of my family.
Lisa's like the OG vegetarian, the first vegetarian I ever knew. I'm like, what is a vegetarian?
This is a crime. Like I probably could have come home and told my family that I'd murdered people and they'd mm-hmm. be like, we can forgive you, but the veganism thing was like I don't.
My parents had a hard time. My mom cried.
Yeah.
And now she's a vegan. So there you go.
We have not made it there.
People change. We gotta let people grow and evolve.
True, that's true.
Yeah. So I studied theater in college. And all the cool kids are doing it. At least the Geminis and the Sagittarius.
Yes.
So I had a movement teacher my freshman year of college that would start most of our classes with like Tai Chi or sun salutations and things like this.
Ooh.
And I remember the first time that year that I walked into an actual yoga class, I was like, this person knows Bill's whole warm up. We're doing like sun salutes. And so I think at the point in time when I was actually doing like the physical practice of yoga, I wasn't aware that it was that. It was just this warm up that we do. And once I started going pretty regularly, I was about 17 in my freshman year, and I was in and out of it, but it kept showing up in these weird ways. So I would do summer stock theater every year that I was in school, and I'd be housed with a yoga teacher or next door to a yoga studio.
The universe was just like
just yoga.
Stalking you.
Yeah, or someone else in the cast was a yoga teacher in their life when they were not acting. And maybe the summer between my junior and my senior year, I was working at a theater in Door County, Wisconsin, and I was going to take these classes at this yoga studio that was in a barn like a refurbished barn, and it felt like you were practicing in a field of wildflowers, because on either, like, the two shorter ends of the barn were glass, and it's just flowers around
you. It's like very midsummer.
Yeah. Or like Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Well, definitely one or the other. And there was never more than like four or five of us in the class, which is such a gift. And it was the first time that I had someone that I feel like was talking about other aspects of the practice than just the physical. And that was like getting in there and doing hands-on adjustments and things like this. And I was like, oh God, I didn't know this was work. Okay. Yep. And that summer, I feel like a lot of things shifted for me, because I started to notice that the times when I was regularly on my mat, I was a human I liked better in my life off of the mat.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like once I made that connection, then it was consistent. I was like, oh, there's something here.
Yeah.
And I left, went and worked at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater. I was a company member for a season. And in that time that I was there, I met two people that were Yoga Works teachers in LA, and we became friends. And I was thinking, I'm going to move to California once I'm done with this contract. And I'd lost their information by the time that happened, because, you know, phones are slippery little fellers. This was pre-cloud.
Says the Sagittarius.
I know, right? Let's like
pre-cloud.
Yeah, let's
I'm dating
clear.
Myself now. Always, so if a phone went away, so did all of your contacts. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of liberating.
Yeah. Oh, except when you had to get a new phone and you had to manually enter new numbers. That,
whatever. If somebody needs to get a hold of me, they can do it.
Yeah. Kids today don't understand the struggle.
The struggle. The struggle was real.
So real.
So I get to LA, and a friend of mine takes me to a yoga class at his gym, and the teacher there gives us all free passes to Yoga Works, which ethically I'm looking back on, I'm like, that wasn't cool, but changed my life. So I accept.
Do you have his number?
So I look up and I'm like, where is Yoga Works near me? And at that point in time, there was legit only like four, and now they're everywhere.
Wow.
And I went to the Larchmont studio and literally ran into one of these two friends of mine that I'd made at the rep. Yes. And I was like, okay, well, this is my home.
Yes.
And then I was like, wait, you said how much for yoga? Did you miss the part where I do theater for a living? So they hooked me up with a work exchange job, and I would like work the desk on Sunday mornings in exchange for free classes. And I had this teacher, Elsie, that would constantly say to me, you should take a yoga teacher training. And I was like, ha ha, you should pay for it. And this was our fun banter that went back and forth for a bit. And eventually one day she came in and was like, here's an application, call this person, you can apply for a scholarship for this. And I was like, oh shit. I hadn't really thought about
excuses, yeah.
actually doing this. And now it's here. And I feel like at that point in my life, I was still in a place where I was like politing myself into things that I wouldn't necessarily have chosen. Mm. So even though my brain was like, I'm not doing teacher training, I was like, well, this person went through the trouble of printing this out and bringing it to me.
It
seemed like
it
a
over.
Big burden.
Right.
So I was like, I need to at least follow up to be polite. And I contacted the person, and there was a training that was starting at the Larchmont studio in a month. And so I was like, so what's up with the scholarship? Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. She sort of laughed in my face, because those scholarships go away like 6 months in advance.
Right.
And she said to me, you know, if you're interested, we have another training coming up at the Montana studio. We're interviewing scholarship people for it this weekend. So take a day or two to think about it and let me know. And I had roommates at the time, so I talked it over with them, and they were like, if someone's going to pay for you to do a yoga teacher training, you should just do it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And I went to call back the next day, again, dating myself, landline. I picked up the landline to call, and she was on the other line. And it was like one of those moments where, I was like, hello. And the person who had the scholarship for the Larchmont training, something came up, she had to defer. And the head of the, what is it called? Work exchange program happened to be in the office, which, as we were just talking about West Side weirdness, is all the way on the West Side, and Larchmont is definitely east.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Weird that he was over there for some reason when this came
chills.
Through and was like, give it to her, give it to Ashley. So I didn't interview for it. I didn't meet anybody about it. And I got a call offering,
offering
me the scholarship.
Yes. We love, oh my God. This
love a universe
synchronicity.
Moment.
Synchronicity, you guys. It's real.
So Emily, the woman who I was chatting with, said to me, I think I still owed like $500 for materials and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't have $500. Mm-hmm. I'm like 20 nothing. And she said, well, okay, well, we can give you a week to come up with it. But if not, then we need to move down the line of people who have actually applied for the scholarship. So I was like, okay, I hear you. I hear you. Fair. And the next day I got a residual check for a commercial for $505 in the mail.
Hey, yes! That extra $5.
That
is beautiful.
Yeah, that started my path with teaching. And I was saying to Diva as we were waiting outside that when I went into that training, I had no intention of being a teacher. I hadn't even thought about teacher training. I was just like, this is going to be cool. And I want to know why we're always rolling to our right side. And like, what does your ohm actually mean?
Well, why are we always rolling to the right?
I'm happy you asked.
I have thought of that a few times in class. I'm like, I'm going to go left. And it, you tell me why
you're
right.
Yeah.
So oftentimes we roll to the right because the left side of our body is considered feminine. So like cooling moon energy. Yeah. The right side of our body more traditionally masculine. And this also plays into hatha, right? So ha, sun, ta, moon, right? So when I roll onto my right side, it's keeping the feminine dominant. So I leave sort of the chill space of my shavasana with like calm energy to carry into my day. There are times if I'm teaching a class at like 6 o'clock in the morning where I might purposely roll people the other way just to like energize and wake them into their day. Yeah. Or sometimes we'll roll you depending on which side of your nose feels more clear.
That is amazing. I always knew there was a reason. I'm like, are they ever going to tell us to roll on the left hand side? And when I'm feeling rebellious, I guess that's my masculine. Yeah. Like, no, I'm going to roll on the left. Makes sense.
Yeah.
That's so amazing. Okay. So you've done the training. And so how did you then decide, I actually want to teach and not just.
I didn't.
Oh. Girl.
Everything with this yoga path has been like, just like a little little shoves forward. So I finished my 200 hour on a Sunday. I had my really dear friend Jeff, who I haven't seen in a minute, and it was just his birthday. Happy birthday, Jeff.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
Was the person in teacher training that showed up with like jobs in place. I was like, but you haven't even trained yet and people want you. Like he knew that he wanted to teach and he was passionate about that. And he had like business cards and a resume. And I'm like, what is on your resume? We were just in teacher training.
Yeah.
But he was practicing at the studio in Los Feliz, Yummy Yoga at the time. And Ducky was sort of helping groom him to start teaching there once he'd done his teacher training. Ducky was the owner of the studio at the time. And he was like, you need to meet Ducky. Like, come and meet her. She'll love you. So we met, and I'm having this interview, I guess, to be on the sub list for the studio. And again, my brain is like, I'm not going to teach yoga. And she said, you know, if you'd be interested, we're such a small space. You should, like, if you could come and work the desk, like one desk shift a week, similar to what I was doing at Yoga Works, just so people get used to seeing your face. So it's not, you know, that shock that we've all felt when we walk into the yoga room, like, and it's like, sub,
who are you?
Stranger danger.
Seriously.
So I, again, politing my way into things, I was like, okay, even though everything inside of me was like, no, why? But free yoga by working this desk shift. So I'm always into that. So I finished on Sunday. I worked my first desk shift on that Thursday. A sub didn't show up to teach the class. And I called Ducky and I'm like, there's no one here. Da, 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 da. And she's like, well, it's not the way we planned it, but teach the class. And I'm pretty sure I said, oh, no, thank you. Oh, no, I said, oh, that's okay.
Oh, God.
We'll just cancel class. It's fine. We'll
it's
cancel.
Good. I'm like, we're already, class started like 5 minutes ago. People are missed, like,
no, it's over. It's okay. We should just send them home.
And I don't remember what she said after that, but I do remember following up and saying, well, this is like an advanced class, and I kind of just pictured myself teaching beginners.
I know. You went all the way to level 3.
Yeah, which translation in my brain was like, I need to teach people that might know less than I do.
Yeah, right. That's what I would be thinking.
Which is so twisted because it's actually so much harder to like to teach beginners. It's like such a more advanced teacher to teach that level.
Right.
But Ducky just said, she was like, fine, teach whatever you would do to your beginners and just put like a vinyasa between everything. It'll be fine. I walked into that room, and at this point, it's like 8 or 10 minutes into the time that the class should have started. And I was like, hey, guys, I'm so sorry. There was some mix up with the sub. So no one's coming. I mean, I could, like, if you guys want, but I totally understand. It's like 10 minutes into your class. Like, we can put that class back on your package and you can come at another time, or I could teach it. And I'm like really trying to undercut this piece. And everyone stayed.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And to this day, I couldn't tell you what I taught in that class. Like, I opened my mouth and something took control of whatever happened in there, and then it was done.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. That's magic. That's literally magic.
Oh, I wish to be a fly on the wall.
And I feel like that was that. And Jeff was going out everywhere, like gyms everywhere, getting jobs, and he would give my name to everyone that he met. And so I was the only person with no experience in teaching that was getting calls from places to be like, we've been told we need to meet you. And I'm like, Jeff.
Jeff,
I mean, thank you.
What
Jeff.
An expander.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. Yeah. I love that.
Oh, yes.
And I started my 300 hour like 2 days after that. I went straight through. And even going into the 300 hour teacher training, the like next level of the program, I still was not going there to teach. I just felt like once I was finishing my 200 hour, like stuff was starting to click. And I was like, I need to keep riding this
wave.
I just wanted more info.
Were there ever any moments where you were like, I can't do this any. I mean, obviously, you've been talking about how, like, being given the opportunities, you were, like, resistant.
Yeah.
But were there ever any moments where you were like, that's it, I'm leaving? Like, did you have any interactions? Did you?
I don't know that I ever had a real strong I'm leaving, but I think I had a lot of, to look back on it now and try to name what the resistance was that was showing up. I think a large part of it was I just didn't see myself anywhere in the yoga world. And you know, I had a huge, like insanely large training. Like there was 38 of us, which is unusual now. And in that room, there were maybe 3 or 4 of us of color. I feel like there was a definite body type that I saw in the room, and I was like, but I have these thighs and this butt, and like, I don't look like anyone that I've seen on
anywhere.
And so I think part of my resistance to it was not necessarily feeling that there was a place for me. It just wasn't. It was more of like, this isn't an option. People that look like me don't do that. Like, it's weird that I'm in this training even. So I feel like there was some of that that was buried in there. And it's so interesting because through my years of teaching, now a lot of the pieces of things that I thought were working against me going into that field have actually been a lot of the things that have brought
my students that have worked for you. Wow, that's amazing.
That's beyond. And I totally know what you mean. I mean, I'm not an instructor, but I'm a yogi, and going to class, there is a specific type.
Yeah.
So when I saw you, I'm like, what is this going to be? It's kind of akin to, do you ever go out and if I see a female DJ, if I'm out somewhere dancing, I'm like, oh, this is about to be, this is about to be a really, really, really good night. You know, it's like, oh, we're going to, you know, just something different. And that's something I really love about you and just yoga works. I should just plug them. I've practice with a bunch of other instructors. You guys are really good about infusing the physical as well as the mental and spiritual, and not all studios are like that. Is that a tenet of Yoga Works or you personally? And
I think it's more personal. Mm-hmm. I think that that is a part of the Yoga Works teacher training.
Like,
we study all eight limbs of the practice. You know, a portion of the training is dedicated to the philosophy of yoga and history of yoga. Mm-hmm. And definitely at like the 200-hour level, we spend a lot of time diving into the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, which I feel like is the world's first self-help book. And in the 300-hour, there's like for the first half of it, weekly Wednesday nights are like all about meditation, pranayama, and philosophy. Mm-hmm. So it's there, definitely in our training. There's a lot of people that go through teacher training now for different reasons, whether they want to teach or otherwise. And I feel like...
Oh my God, what's otherwise? Sorry, side note. I'm like, why would you do it if you weren't going to teach? Is it like going to an acting class and not being an actor? Is it like... sometimes you find writers in actors' classes.
Yeah.
I think that most,
I actually wanted, I don't want to teach, but I want to do yoga teacher training.
It was weird at
it's
the
like
time
a spiritual when, experience
when I
that
went
you go through
that I didn't want to teach.
It's like personal
training,
growth.
But now that's more the norm. Mm. Like more people go to teacher training because they just want to deepen their practice.
Deepen their practice.
Interesting. And
they want to know why we rolled to the right side.
I want to know why I rolled to the right side. I want questions answered, basically.
Yeah.
And also for me, we talk a lot about morning rituals, and yoga was a huge part of my morning ritual. Mm-hmm. And it's changed a little bit. So I want to reintroduce it back. And I'm it's just easier for me in my lifestyle if I'm doing everything at home before I leave my house.
Yeah.
So I want to deepen it in that way just for myself. And who knows, maybe I'll teach a class and I don't know. You're actually the one who put the idea in my head. You came to me after one class. I was like, have you ever thought about it? And I'm like, what?
Go away.
Exactly. So when you were telling your story, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's my Jeff or, you know, whomever was expansive for me. So, but anyway, we'll talk more about that
later.
It's
great. I honestly feel like the world should go to yoga teacher training.
Yeah.
And it's just such an interesting gift to give to self, to like focus attention on self in that way. Exhausting and triggering. Mm-hmm. but it's really good. And it's amazing to watch people through the journey of a teacher training. Big things happen in every group. Like someone gets pregnant, relationships end. Like I feel like a lot of huge life shifts happen when you start like nurturing yourself in that way or just looking at yourself.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Even just like going to therapy.
Yeah.
Like it could be like that.
Yeah. It's always been my form of therapy. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love yoga. Can you speak a little bit? So vinyasa, I think, is the most popular that most people know. Can you speak on the other styles of yoga and just briefly touch on the importance of it and the differences?
Yeah. So most of the yoga that we do in the West here comes from one person in some way. So Krishnacharya, who's like the father of modern day yoga, baby genius, I'll call him, like super smart person. He was like taking college level courses and what would be like middle school age for us.
Yeah.
And came from a long line of Brahmins, like people in the sort of spiritual priesthood world. Spiritual priesthood world. Quote me on that.
Yeah.
We will. It's done. It's out there. So he at some point went and studied with someone in the foothills of the Himalayas. His teacher was like, you need to go back to the world to like bring this work to everyone. Mm-hmm. Caught the attention of the royal family, was given a school by them, started doing demonstrations, like one of these yogis that people would come and be like, let's hook you up to something. You said you can stop your heart for a period of time through your meditation, or you cannot take a breath for this long, like this kind of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And so he was intrigued by this young boy was intrigued by him and all of these things he was doing, and started following him and studying with him. And this kid was Patabi Joyce, who is the father of Ashtanga yoga, which is where the path of flow comes from. So anything that's like vinyasa, power.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say, but Bikram.
Sort of ties into this piece of things. We should probably at some point, people who don't know what's up with Bikram. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we should probably talk about the scandal that's going on.
Or just watch the Netflix documentary.
Yeah, none of us work for Netflix.
Yeah,
go
just,
on over
just
there.
Watch it. Google.
So anything that's in this sort of like flow world, Krishnacharya, also his brother-in-law who came to live with he and his wife at some point in time, super sickly child, physical issues and health issues. And Krishnacharya was like, you know, well, we can still do yoga. What if we just put you in a chair? What if we do this, this, this? Mm-hmm. And this kid, you know, made a full, his health came fully back to him. He is BKS Iyengar. Who's father of the path of Iyengar yoga, which is like the exact opposite of flow. So this is really alignment focused. You may go to a 90-minute Iyengar class and do like 5 or 6 poses in it. But you will know what's happening from like the tip of your toe nail all the way to this piece of hair that like sticks the wrong way out of your head. Oftentimes, there's the incorporation of a lot of props used in it, modifications. Iyengar teachers always have a beautiful gift of, like, a deeper knowledge and study in injury management, how to work with different physical conditions. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, the YogaWorks method is sort of a marriage of the two of those. Like, how do we give the attention and detail to alignment but keep it moving, keep it flowing. And then there's Vinaya yoga, or the yoga of Desikachar. And Desikachar was Krishnamacharya's son. And he was sort of looking at the way that yoga was being offered and realizing, man, we're teaching everybody Trikonasana the same way. Mm. Like, and triangle pose might look different on this body than this body than this body than this body. So in his method, he's looking at how do I teach, even in a group class, how am I teaching to the individual? How am I modifying? Or a lot of movement in and out of pose on the breath. So I might come to warrior two, and instead of just holding it, like inhale, straighten the leg, lift the arms, exhale, lower back in, like dynamic movement.
Yeah.
So Iyengar and the yoga of Desikachar, I feel like, feed into a lot of the therapeutic modalities of yoga, which are often just called therapeutics.
Right.
So there's everything. And then I feel like from that one, those three branches, and from those three branches, we've got a whole host of things.
Yeah.
Trap yoga. There's... You know, there's
like dubstep yoga.
Dubstep
yoga, dub flow or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I did a hip hop yoga class, and they didn't even play hip hop music.
What?
I was so offended. They played Mary J. Blige, and I'm
like, hip hop about it.
Like, is Mary J. Blige hip hop now? Like, what?
Yeah, this is R&B.
Yeah,
this is R&B smooth
flow,
jams,
right? Baby making yoga, they should have called it. But I know there's so many different styles.
There's restorative.
My next to vinyasa. Restorative is a game changer. Game changer.
Yeah. Why is it a game changer?
For me personally, I think we're always go, go, go. We've talked about it, self-care and things like that. It's a great way to relax your body. And you're just in, you sometimes do 2, maybe 3 poses in the classes I've taken anyway, through the whole class. You're just sitting there and kind of just, I mean, you can just probably speak to it
being
a little more.
Being present in the poses.
Yeah.
And holding
just,
the
that's
poses.
That's how I feel taking the class. I feel amazing. It's like I took a massage, slept for 5 days, like all the good things.
And that's
after
important
one class.
For people. I feel like I wanted to talk about that with you today, too, because I know a lot of people in my life And especially, you know, in a city fast paced, mm-hmm. like they don't want to slow down. They don't want, they're like, I don't want to do yoga. I want to go to the gym and lift weights and like, you know, look at all the cute butts or whatever. I guess you can look at cute butts in yoga too.
Yeah, you can.
They're there.
But yeah, they're there. They're everywhere, really. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if you deal with people like that in your class who are like, don't want to slow down. Yeah. Maybe like their boss told them to go to a yoga class. Like, how do you introduce yoga to people who are so resistant to it?
Well, I work in treatment, so that's a part of my gig all the time.
Oh my God. Wait, is this like a side? Wait, tell me more.
Yeah. I teach at 2 eating disorder clinics.
That's amazing.
So I work with adults twice a week and I work with adolescents twice a week. So
I definitely
work with people that are resistant to yoga.
Seriously.
Or even the people that come into treatment and are super excited about yoga. A lot of times they have been in like hot yoga or vinyasa flow, and that is not what I am offering
right
in that space.
You're more about like self-care yoga.
Yeah.
And less about like, let's burn calories and let's, you know, let's tone this. And oh my God. It's
like,
so
let's change relationship with our body.
Our body. Yeah.
So I think the first thing as a teacher going into that space is to remember this isn't about you, because it's really easy in life in general to get caught up in the ego. But, you know, when someone is not immediately taken with what you're offering, of course, we're human. And it's like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
I'm
we
awful.
Take it personally.
Like, we take it really personally and try to, like, shift and change everything to accommodate. Mm-hmm. When, again, it's not about you. Right. And I think just meeting people where they're at. So if someone comes in and they're like pissed off about being there, I'm not going to tell them to not be pissed off. Like, that's going to only escalate the situation. So it's acknowledging, it's like, this sucks, huh?
Yeah, like, it sucks.
This sucks.
I mean, how do you even, because I have to tell you, I was thinking about my relationship with yoga on the drive over here, and I did actually start yoga in a treatment setting. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I feel a different relationship to it, because it was more of a have to rather than a want to.
Yeah.
And I had to develop my own relationship with it so that I could then like associate it with something that I was doing to care for my body, as opposed to something that somebody told me I had to do.
Yeah.
So how do you help people like develop their own relationship with it?
I think letting them know that that's possibility.
Yeah.
Number one, because I think also being in treatment, there is so much that it's like, I'm like moving between group to group to group. Everything is so controlled in some way. And so in part, you know, I feel like sometimes even in, because I also work and mentor with other teachers that work in treatment facilities. And I think sometimes people come in with this like heavy responsibility of like, and now we're going to do yoga and we're going to change
heal
this
these
and
people.
Da, 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 da. And like, yes, ideally, but there's so many different ways to get there. And so I think I walk into that space and I'm like, how can we have some play inside of what, like, everything is so heavy already and what's happening here. So where is the levity inside of
oh my God, I love
the work that we're doing. And so
then they get excited to be there.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And the thing is, you know, we're particularly with the adolescents, because they're so paying attention to how everybody else is responding to things. And so I feel like you just need one. Like, if you've got one person that's there and that's with it and present, then someone else is going to look over and be like, wait, why is Grace so into this? Like, okay, I'll pay a little more attention to it this time. But I think the thing is like, you can't make anybody change their mind about stuff, but you can pay attention to where the person's at and try to offer something that will resonate with them. And I think a lot of this comes in now with like, what is the philosophical thread that I offer inside of the work that I'm doing? And really just acknowledging people where they're at.
That's so important. People just want to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
Like in any aspect.
Yeah.
So that's, and I will say that is something I felt in your class. I wasn't just another student. You were really good about being attentive and, you know, like everyone feels special, basically. So I think that's important that you talk the talk and you walk the walk. So
thanks.
So thank you. Thank you for
that. I love this. I love, especially because we've been talking a lot about sustainability and how sustainability really is just slowing down. And yoga is so much of just slowing down. And people don't want to slow down.
No, people are so afraid. Because
then, I know, because they don't want all their shit to catch up with them.
Yeah. And so you bring that up. Like, I'll talk in space, and a lot of times, particularly in the adult house, when people come in, they don't have – I've got three different levels in the same room. So there's people that, like, don't have any movement. So they're straight up in restorative poses while their neighbor might be getting to do sun salutations.
Yeah.
And, like – what an intense, like, can I curse on this show?
Go for it. We have the damn E.
I was like, it's a mind fuck. It's a mind fuck to, like, it's already challenging to be there and to be still, but then to have to be still in a room with people that are getting movement is like, why are you?
That's real life, actually. Yeah. You have to let other people be in their process while you're alongside them in your own process.
Yeah.
That's a really great practice.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even acknowledging it inside of that stuff, and like when I'm working with three different levels of people in the same room, I'm trying to like keep them in a similar shape. So if this person's standing in triangle, I've got this person laying down with their leg open to the side, you know. Yeah. So we're like riding a similar energy, but I'm going to talk about that stuff. So I'll be in there and I'll be like, you know, those of us that are laying down today know that you're doing the most advanced practice. Like this is probably frustrating. It's bringing stuff up for you. So whatever's showing up, like, let it be there. And if you need to like vocalize and scream about it at some point, scream about it. And so there's something that creates, I feel like anxiety and stress and all of these things are magnified by the fact that we think it is only us. I am the only one that's feeling this. And so when someone else speaks to what it is you're feeling, then it suddenly like relieves some of that pressure and some of that discomfort, because it's like, oh my God, it's not just me. So it's not necessarily going to solve it all, but suddenly it's like, takes one layer of pressure away. And I think bringing this kind of stuff, not just into a yoga or a therapeutic space or things like that, but just into the world, like the more we're talking about stuff, the less the things that stress us have the power to do so.
Yeah.
Right.
I always feel like yoga is a good gateway.
Yeah.
To just
gateway drug to self-discovery.
And enlightenment. Because I remember one morning I didn't take a yoga class. And my friend was like, we were in the office talking. He's like, you didn't go to yoga today, did you? I'm like, no, how could you tell? He's like, oh, I can tell. It's like, it changes you to the core. What do you think, besides restorative, is there, and I guess vinyasa would be, like the average person, what's like an easy, because I don't want to scare people with hot yoga, come to a hot yoga class, you know? But what do you think people should try just to get their tongue a little wet, you know?
I think it's totally dependent on your personality.
Okay. Yeah.
So I have people all the time. It's actually hilarious. I have a lot of people that will come in and bring their partner to like my most advanced class.
Oh God.
Which is cruel for their like their first class ever. But they're doing
it purposely.
I think
I did that to my brother.
Yeah. That it's like, my husband thinks I just come here and like lay down and talk about my feelings. Mm-hmm. So I know it's bad that I brought him here, but destroy him.
That was my brother was, he's a big guy and was lifting weights. This is years ago. And we were at the same gym. I'm like, oh, there's a yoga class. Come join me. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
He was struggling. I was trying not to laugh. I was trying not to laugh at him, but struggling. Yeah. And I think he had more respect for yoga and what I do. So
yeah,
I love that.
I think that for the
petty
athlete,
petty yoga,
right?
Petty,
yeah. There is almost something initially that like we have to entice with ego.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully through, if you stick with it, then suddenly you realize that's not what it's about. And we come back to a place of balance. So for someone that is maybe a little bit more type A, or really just like used to a hardcore workout, to bring them to a restorative class is probably going to turn them off of yoga altogether.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Right.
So feed the beast a little bit. Hope that you get someone that knows how to like sneak the spinach into the brownies in the course of the class.
So I love that we find a little. That's exactly what you're doing.
I love that. I know. There was one class I took of yours used to teach this lunchtime, like power hour. And I remember like tweeting about it. I'm like, I just got my ass kicked. Okay. Like, I would just be done and like, lying, like I'm like, why thought this is supposed to be relaxed? So if you want a workout, you can get one if that's what you're striving for. But can you talk a little bit about the importance of vinyasa? Just like speak a little bit on the balance of building up to something to kind of let go, because so many, especially I do a lot of morning classes, people I know they have work, and my teachers were like, I know you have to leave, but if you can just stay for, it's so important, Shavasana. Yeah. People just, they don't really think about it. They're just like, oh, it's fine. I got my workout in. I'm going to go.
Yeah, people leave.
You know, like just.
There's a lot of different definitions of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take it to Patanjali for a minute. And he says, yoga is chitta vritti nirodha. Did you get all that?
Yes.
So that's this means, the Diva with Grace quote.
Yeah.
Of the week.
I knew it. So yoga is the stilling of the fluctuations of the mind. So yoga is not down dog. Yoga is not chaturanga. Yoga is not handstand. It's not any of the like cool tricks we do. Yeah. At the end of the day, yoga is about quieting your mind, like, or finding a way to be present with the noise without letting it dictate your mood, your being, your life. Right? So in a vinyasa class, even in the all of this movement in vinyasa, the word itself means to place in a special way. We know it as like chaturanga, up dog, down dog, but it means to place in a special way. So it's purposeful movement. Number one, like hopefully you're in a class where a teacher is building you intelligently to some peak pose often, or just well-rounded. And then there's something on the other side that is cooling you down and countering that effort. So again, the ha and the ta, hatha, the sun and the moon balance. But all of that, so in pursuit of trying to stand on my head or clean up my down dog or whatever that is, this is a work of dharana, of single-pointed focus. It doesn't matter if I ever get there, but for the time that I am trying to balance in a shape, I don't have the room to think about that thing that's going on at work or at school or in my relationship or anything else. There is only room for the task at hand. So in this way, I'm working that yoga, the quieting or the stilling of the fluctuations of the mind. All of this build to, you know, reach this peak pose, this is building energy or building prana, life force, right? And even as we're coming back down the mountain, it's not that we're letting go of that, but we're now like softening the container so that that can flow a bit more easily within us. And then once you get to the Shavasana, that's the point of it all. Exactly. So the point was never the peak. The point is
the
like...
The point is Shavasana.
The point is Shavasana.
Yeah.
Like it's never about the moving. All of the doing that on in life, on and off of the mat, is about allowing ourselves to get to a place where we can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so to leave and not get the like
I know.
The Shavasana,
the
it's like,
yeah,
oh man,
the cookie.
Yeah.
I'm always like, why even come to class? That's what I would think sometimes. I'm like, why would you do all that and not get the reward at the end, so to speak?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just love that you spoke on that. I just wanted you to say, oh my, because I always had thoughts about it, but you're the professional, so they're going to listen to you.
I love that you asked that question because I'd never really thought about it before, but that's so true.
It's just, again, it's people always resist stillness.
Yeah.
Resist quieting down, calming down, being in your mind. You know, yoga is, it's so powerful. I've cried on the mats. I've laughed randomly. There was one class where I was laying there half of it. Like, honestly, like you just, but it gives you the space. You can do that. Like, you show up differently every single time, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm a yogi. If you guys didn't already know that,
she's in.
I'm in. I drink the Kool-Aid. Sugar free.
Sugar free Kool-Aid.
Kombucha. It's kombucha.
It's kombucha.
It's kombucha.
I drink the booch.
Yeah. So let's shift gears a little bit. When did you? Because you traveled the world.
Yes.
Which is casual. So amazing. Yeah. So casual.
It's just casual.
How did that come about? Like, so you've been teaching for a while, or maybe for you, like for 5 minutes, and the next day someone's like, come to Bali.
This one. Let's
go. Yeah, right?
Billy, my roommate from college also a fantastic yoga teacher. When we were both teaching up in Valencia, we had a lot of the same students. We just attracted a similar tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And people would say to us all the time, like, you guys should really teach a retreat. You should lead a retreat. And again, these are always outside suggestions in my life that I'm like, okay. And then I think after like 2 years of that happening, one day Billy and I were like, should we lead a retreat? Just came to me out of nowhere. So we did a few retreats in Ojai. Like we started local, which was such a learning curve for us because it was like, we studied theater in school and do yoga for much of our living now. And so the brain, as far as like contracts and things go, it's like business. So that first retreat was a very humbling experience, and it's a miracle that we didn't end up owing $8 million because we like misread something and like had undercharged. And,
oh, no.
But it worked out, and we still came a little ahead, which was great. But we did a few of those sort of learning curve things here, and then got connected with this company, International Yoga, and they were basically like, where would you like to go?
I mean, that, besides will you marry me, that might be, you know what, that might be will you marry me as the question of my life.
Yeah.
Where would you like to shop? What would you like? Okay, anyway, back to you.
So we did our first international retreat together in 2011 or 2012. We went to Bali. And we did a sort of like out of order eat, pray, love because we did Bali and then Italy and then India.
Oh, wow.
And in the course of us doing this, I also started, you know, some years into, years after my training, studying to become a teacher trainer. And when I started leading trainings, the first training that I was offered was in Japan. And then I got to go to Peru and lead a training, and I did a couple in Canada and all, you know, all over the place. And then just kept with international yoga. Yeah. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. Morocco. Yeah. And
is India in the near future? Yoga in India is a bucket list.
Yes. I'll do another India.
No pressure. Don't like schedule
one
for me.
Not this New Year's, but I'm planning on the following.
I will be there. I will say that now on air. I will be there.
So it's on my bucket.
2022. I'm going to India to yoga.
All those twos.
And then can you explain just a little bit, because a retreat does seem a little daunting for some people, and like if you're a beginner one, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
Can anyone join a retreat?
Anyone can join a retreat. Retreat is just yoga vacation.
Yeah.
And it's delicious. It's like dessert for breakfast.
Yeah, what do you do?
Besides yoga.
I guess.
Yeah, well, in the mornings, we generally have something that's more flow-styled practice, all levels. And then in the evening, it's something more chill. So it'll be restorative or yin, like deep stretching, meditation, pranayama, breath work, like so. Something active in the morning, something chill in the evening. Mm-hmm. I often put in a journaling component to all of my retreats as well. So there'll be different like prompts for each day. And then every other day of the retreat, there's an excursion that's planned. So we'll have like set things for us to do. And then the days that are off, you will give suggestions. So it's like, you can go here, here, here. You can do nothing. You can stay at this pool. You can go to the beach. You can get a massage.
This is heaven.
Sign
me up. I just want to do retreats now.
It's awesome.
Yeah. This is your life. Did you love that? Like, this is what you get to do.
I love it. And I, you know, I do usually two or three international retreats a year. And then I teach
two or three
trainings.
Yeah.
So, like, this year has been a little calmer. I've been on an airplane like once a month. And last year I was on a plane almost every weekend.
Wow.
Going somewhere.
Yeah.
But
how do you stay grounded while traveling?
She practices yoga.
I practice yoga. Yes. Amazing.
But do you do anything like extra for yourself when you're traveling?
I have just talk about Ayurveda for a second.
You better.
So if you're not familiar, Ayurveda is like science of life, right? So every person's body is a combination of three doshas. And we have predominant doshas and less dominant doshas. And the whole idea of Ayurveda is that balance or opposites heal, opposites balance. Mm-hmm. So I have a really unusual combination, like doshic makeup. I'm kapha vata, and kapha is like earth. Mm-hmm. So it's earth plus water, mud, that which sticks. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of kapha of my being. My physical build, the sound of my voice, like the pace at which I move through life is very kapha. Mm-hmm. So the earth helps in all of the travel because there's a part of my nature that is just grounded generally. the opposite aspect of me, Vata, and why this is a rare combination is Vata is the extreme opposite of Kapha. It's air.
Yeah.
Air and ether, space. So it's oftentimes creative folks fall into Vata world. I feel like you're probably a Vata.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It's been a while.
I would guess you're a Vata Pitta.
Vata Pitta. Uh-huh. Yeah. Girl, you know me. She just read me. You guys.
Oh my gosh. Ayurvedically. Figure out what I am.
Yeah. I'll send you the info.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So I feel like I have to be cautious with travel because of my Vata, like wind and the flying. Like when Vata is out of balance, it's like can be a little spacey, a little like airheadish. And so spending a lot of time literally in the air
must be interesting.
Yeah.
Can be very interesting.
Yeah.
And so part of that will come in with like different oils. Like I do a lot of essential oils, and I have like my travel pack that I take with me for places. And then the foods that I eat will help sort of regulate or balance that.
But okay.
Yeah.
And are you into astrology at all, or the zodiac?
Am. I feel like I know a decent amount about myself.
Yeah, that's me. Grace will tell you.
And I can speak to also some of the like the signs that are close in my life, but I don't know it in a way that I can be like, oh, well, you're a da 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 da, and this makes sense, and this and that.
Yeah.
You know what's been weird? I've met some people last week, and we were just talking about something, and I just went, Virgo. She's like, how did you know? It's just weird. It's starting to come to me. I'm like, Scorpio. I just start pointing. I'm like,
yeah, I have a Virgo moon. And Virgo also,
rising.
Go brain go, rising.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a Virgo rising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connection.
Yeah, the earth and the air. Mm-hmm. Lots of earth and air. And no fire. I have no fire.
Yeah. This is my deficiency in
your fire. They already know I'm all fire over here.
Which I always thought was funny because I was like, but Sagittarius is a fire sign. But it's like,
but you're just
Pitta in my Ayurvedic world is like, where are you? Hello, heat.
You got me.
I got you.
So you have a traveling ritual. Do you have a morning ritual, evening? We love a ritual over here.
It really upsets people when I tell them that I'm awake, usually at 4:45 most days.
Oh, wow.
I know some people like that. Yeah. That's fine.
It's that I'm like looking at this screensaver right now.
It's so calming.
It is very calming.
I love being up early. It's the best.
This is what I feel about
being
morning time.
Yeah.
Like the world is quiet. So I roll out of bed and like the first without thought I practice. Get on my mat, I practice, and then I do pranayama, I do some breathing exercises, and then I sit and I meditate. Mm-hmm. And then I can start my day.
Yeah. I'm like, I want that. Yes.
And part of that, I think, is necessity. Like you were mentioning, you know, like you've got to get it in first thing because of the way that your day works.
Yeah.
And I feel like that. Like I don't wake up every day and I'm like, yay,
exactly.
Let's do this.
But you have to fill your cup before you can fill everyone else's.
And just we always talk about consistency is queen here. Yeah. Just be consistent. I know I journal, and one day I was so angry, so I was like rage journaling.
Yeah.
But I did it. You know what I mean? I'm like, but the next day I was like, yeah, I did it. I felt really proud of myself.
Yes.
So you're not always going to feel it. How often do you practice daily?
I practice daily.
Do you, I always wondered, do you practice a routine for class, or does it just come to you in class? Do you have an idea? Because sometimes you'll take suggestions. What do you guys want to do today? I'm like, what is she, you know, is it, how does that work?
I do not practice what I'm going to teach that day. And in part, it's because I can make a plan for what I want to do. And then I'm going to show up and I'll be like, this is not what these bodies need.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do work off of what I'm seeing in the space. Ayurveda does play into it. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's certain times of day or times of the year where energetically stuff is coming up for people. So it can give me an idea of something that I want to bring into the work that day. I do often ask for suggestions and I'll let you in on a little secret with that. That
it doesn't matter.
It does. It does matter.
Okay.
If it's appropriate for the class, I will honor what the request was made. But in part, I ask that sometimes because we tend to ask for what we want, what we think we are good at, or what we like. Mm-hmm. And so I will offer that, but it also gives me a lot of information about what you might need or what you are in avoidance of.
Right.
I'm always like, hip openers.
Yeah. People are like, yeah.
Heart.
Heart. So, yeah, it gives me a little bit of like, what you asked for is the brownie, and then it informs what I'm going to give you as the spinach.
You know what I never asked for? Handstands. Because I just wasn't advanced enough. That's when I was like, oh, my ego always took a beating. But yeah. I did it anyway. You actually helped me. She came up to me one class, and she's like, I think you can do it. And I was like,
oh, my God.
What? She's like, come on. And she helped
that
me just slightly.
Me so much anxiety.
And I should say it's against the wall, so we're still building. But I could never get up there. I would just look and be like, whatever, it's fine. And I'm like, yeah. And I do it like Ashley taught me.
And isn't it funny that we just do this in life, that it's like, I'm going to avoid this thing because I can't do it.
Yeah.
But it's like, but you're never going to unless you
I think
do
that's
the work
why
that.
I avoid yoga classes because I don't want to do any oh my God, what are they called?
Inversions.
Like inversions?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't want
to do any inversions.
It can be, and also it
gives
depends
me
on the teacher.
So much anxiety. And then I don't want, like, if you came up to me and were like, I think you can do it, I would start like crying and leave.
Yeah.
I'd be like, don't touch me. I don't want to do this.
I think, you know, as teachers, we feel the energy of the people in the place, and you know, we can be wrong. We're humans. But a lot of times we know who to push and how to push.
Right.
So the way that I approach Diva to go do something is going to be very different than the way that I would approach you, Grace, to go do something. And know that at the end of the day, like any teacher that you have that is outside of yourself is just there making suggestions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it's like, what serves you? And if you ever go into a space and you're like, no, and someone pushes back on that, then that's not a like
safe
space for you.
Yeah.
And also sometimes you got to cry and get out of this.
Yeah.
Get out of the room.
It's
and
happened.
That's okay too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I love about it. It's just, it can be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
Yoga and also just life, you know? Yeah. I think what's interesting is where I was when I met you, I was in my mid 20s, somewhere around there. And I was always looking for permission. Mm-hmm. So I always look to, well, she's an expert. So she, you know, when Ashley says I can do something, I can do it. You know, obviously things have changed in the last decade. I do what I want now. But, you know, that's why I think it's so important. Just not even a yoga instructor. Just if you are searching for someone in self-development and growth, look for someone you trust and you feel safe with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not going to, because even as long as I've practiced, I went to a class that was a more advanced class. I wanted to challenge myself. And the instructor did not want me there and made it super clear. And I was like, part of me was like, well, I could just leave. And I was like, but I'm here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to practice. And just because I can't do that, it doesn't mean, you know. So I was like, imagine though, if I was my 24-year-old self, I would have felt like shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was also a guy. And so, you know, ego and all that stuff played a part. But I just was like, I'm here to practice. And I kept showing up every week. And then he was like, all right. He's like, she's not leaving. I'm like, no, I'm not. So
I even think about that now of like, early on in practice and people giving me hands-on adjustments, and I would take it as criticism, like, I'm not doing anything right.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, touch me.
I know.
What do you got? Like, yes.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like actors with notes. I'm like, oh, I don't want to know. You know, you're like, I want to just do the scene and kill it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, no, they want to play with you. They want to expand and grow.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just so amazing.
So amazing.
I'm so glad that we got to do this.
I know.
Can you let the people know where you're teaching, your local, based in LA, when you're in the
when
country?
I'm in the country. I'm at Yoga Works in Pasadena and Los Feliz. And you can find me at yoga-with-ashley.com. I'm sorry for the dashes.
We love dashes.
I love
a
dashes.
Dash here.
They just wanted too much money for that straight up no dash.
Stop.
Yoga-with-ashley.com. I was like, that's okay. I got a workaround.
We like dashes.
I like a little dash. Mm-hmm. And you can find us at Diva with Grace podcast. Yeah. And let us know what you thought of this week's episode. Thank you so much, Ashley.
Thank you,
thank you for having me.
You're amazing. All right, guys. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.